Join us WrestleMania weekend for the Internet Darlings live event featuring your favorite wrestling YouTubers. The link is in the description. Hey, friend, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw Count Out, the only pro wrestling podcast at our channel, youtube.com/Steven Larson. Also, wherever fine podcasts can be found, including Patreon, I'm getting ahead of myself, Larson, including soundcloud.com/Steven Larson, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play, iHeartRadio, and of course iTunes. And if you guys pick up your little iOS devices and click on the iPod app, you can subscribe and download to our podcast, and it jacks us up in the rankings on the sports and rec category, Larson. So that's good. We also have Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson, where you guys can experience all sorts of wonderful rewards.
Yes.
In exchange for your money to make the show better.
Yeah.
And we have a pro wrestling tee shop, prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw, where you can get Adam Cole, baby.
Or listen up, slap nuts.
Or I am the king of sport, 1972. True story about this hoodie. I've told you this before, but I want to tell the people out there.
Yes, please do.
I was boarding a plane from Vegas when I bought this hoodie, and as I got on, the nice flight attendant said, "Oh, you're the king of sport," because it says king of sport right here.
Yeah.
I'm not really the king of sport.
You are not the king of sport.
How do you know I'm not a king of sport?
I've seen you play sport before.
I can beat you in sport.
Well, one.
At least one.
Yeah, basketball. That's it, though.
What other singles competition could we possibly have? Top 10 sports I could beat you
in. I'd beat you at tennis. Oh. I played tennis before. Not professionally or competitively, but played enough.
Yeah, I know.
But to know that I'm better than you.
Wouldn't that be like when they put the boxing gloves on a couple of cats?
Kind of.
I don't think there'd be like a clear...
I could out-golf you.
That's not a real sport, though. It's like saying NASCAR is a sport.
No, golf actually takes a lot more hand-eye coordination, I would think, than driving a car in a circle.
So given that Jack Swagger is looking to get out of his WWE contract, in fact, apparently at one point he thought he was out of it enough to book a show on the indie circuit.
And then they said,
WWE said no
deal.
That
he is still under contract, not a free agent. And if he were, 90-day no-compete clause.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyways, that got us to thinking about other wrestlers currently under WWE contract.
Yeah.
That might be better off.
Yeah. So we did a
not
list.
Not under WWE contract.
We did a list a couple weeks ago that was top 10 wrestlers who are better off. And so this is, you know, guys who are under contract now who would be better off without the WWE.
Yes.
Jack Swagger's not on this list because he's already decided that he's in. This is for them. This is for all these people. Hear us out and then make your decision.
Yes.
And one of them for sure, this one, we know she wants out. But a couple of these other ones might need some convincing to leave the good paycheck that the WWE's offering to venture off on their own and create their own brand, if you will. So here you go. These are the top 10 wrestlers who would be better off, who should leave the WWE, I guess.
Yeah.
Number 10.
10.
Apollo Crews. A little early for him to be leaving, but I think it would be...
It was early for him, and granted, this wasn't his doing, early for him to be brought to the main roster.
I think this would be a perfect time for him to leave the WWE after this failed experiment in the mainstream pro wrestling. Go away, learn to be better, and then come back in like 5 years.
I got to thinking about Cassius Ohno just did an interview, Chris Hero, recently about his return to NXT.
Yeah.
And you know, he was gone 3 years or so.
Mm-hmm. 3 years, yeah.
I feel like Apollo Crews, if he were to leave,
mm-hmm.
you know, wrestle in the indies,
mm-hmm.
wrestle overseas,
mm-hmm.
gain more experience, find a character,
mm-hmm.
build a brand,
yeah.
come back,
yeah.
and he could be a huge star.
This is, of course,
because he has all the talent in the world.
This is, of
He's
course,
a super talented guy.
Completely understanding that he... Came up in the indie. He came up in Dragon Gate, I guess. He was in Dragon Gate as UHA Nation, built a really good name for himself in the independent scene. Like you said, he is very talented, but now he has the experience of being in the WWE. He has the name recognition. He would have to go back to being UHA Nation, or he could, you know, I wonder if he could just be Apollo. Apollo is a very iconic name.
Yeah.
So he could just be Apollo.
But really, he just got brought up to the main roster too soon.
Way too soon.
He should have stayed in NXT for at least another 8 months, if not a year.
Absolutely.
Have him find a character and then bring him up.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if you have a character, then you can you could have a plan for him. Because mm-hmm. it was obvious there was no plan for Apollo Crews when he got brought up.
Yeah.
None.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean, like you said, he's got all the tools. He's only 29 years old. I just feel like I'm not actually considering, like, I wouldn't actually consider this if I was him.
No.
I'm not going to say it's a joke, but his call-up was botched.
Yeah.
His call-up was totally too early, and it just feels like he was screwed out the gate. But like you said, you know, he needs to go out there, find a character for himself, and then come back. Now, he is probably under contract for a very long period of time, so it's probably not even close to being possible. And he is being used a bit more these days on SmackDown, far more than Jack Swagger.
Yeah.
You know, so there's all the reason in the world to believe if all things were to stay equal on SmackDown, eventually he would work his way up the
ladder. Yeah, but even just this past week, he should not be losing to Dolph in a chairs match.
On the other hand, he was in a chairs match against Dolph Ziggler on SmackDown in a fairly prominent position on the card.
I understand, but that's the type of match that if he can win it, string together a few wins,
mm-hmm.
he can start building some momentum.
Yeah, yeah. I just think that, yeah, I mean, the bottom line is NXT, the one big aspect of NXT still to this day is developmental.
Yes.
And he needed to stay there.
Yes.
And, you know, another way to develop is to be out on the indie circuit. And now that he has such a much, much more of a high profile, I think he would actually completely thrive on the indie circuit where the art of wrestling is really taken much more into account in terms of who people root for and who people, and who's booked.
Yeah.
And he's got the wrestling stuff down.
Oh yeah.
He's got that down. So, like you said, finding a character for himself would be pivotal. If he were to leave, I think he should consider leaving.
Okay.
Maybe faking his own death to get out of the contract with the WWE and then going out on the indie circuit.
But how would that work?
As Mecha Apollo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Number nine.
Nine.
Tyler Breeze. Don't you think it would be a shame? He's been in developmental since 2010.
He's been with WWE since 2010 and only got brought up, what, last year?
He's only been up a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's obvious that, you know, being part of the
Fashion Boys
just isn't working out for him.
No.
And
well, there was a time where after he and Fandango joined forces, there's rumors that Vince or someone in creative wanted to repackage them in a more serious manner.
Right.
Instead, we got the Fashion Police.
He brought them into his office, and they said, "What's going on?"
"You're Fashion Police!"
Okay, Vince, very good. I don't know, man. You know, Tyler Breeze is one of those bummers because it's like you see him in Breaking Ground and he's totally cool.
I know.
He's like a totally normal good guy, like tons of charisma. And then he puts on that horribly stupid accent and plays the Tyler Breeze character. And it just doesn't work, dude.
I know.
It's so, the ceiling is so low on that shit.
Yeah.
And we're basically seeing the ceiling right
now.
I know. Fashion Police!
Before we started, you compared him to, in terms of
Johnny Mundo.
Yeah, the type of career he could potentially have.
Oh, absolutely.
Out on the indie circuit.
Yeah, for sure. Now that he's been around for a little while, he's only 29 years old.
Imagine Tyler Breeze in Lucha Underground.
Mm-hmm. So he was in something called Power Zone Wrestling in 2009 under the name Matthias Wild. That's a terrible name. Let's see here. He went to NWA Extreme Canadian Championship Wrestling. He was trained by Lance Storm.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. And then it wasn't that long out. I mean, he was in the indie circuit there for 3 years before he headed to Florida Championship Wrestling, which at the time was WWE developmental.
Yeah.
So yeah. And he's been there. Yeah. Like you said, 2010. I think he's enough of a name that he can go out and make something bigger for himself. I mean, we've seen that, especially with like Johnny Mundo. He's a guy, he made a name for himself. Granted, he was a much bigger name in WWE than Tyler Breeze has been. But I think, I don't know, man. I think, like, especially in this day and age when everybody's got a couple hundred thousand Twitter followers in the WWE, that kind of translates to the scene that Johnny Mundo left back then when social media wasn't as big as it is now. I mean, look at Ryback, for example.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you look at what he's been able to do. He's got a million Instagram followers.
Wow.
That's insane. Yeah, Ryback has a million Instagram followers.
That's pretty impressive.
And if he's out there doing his thing, you know, Tyler Breeze can do it. He's got actual talent.
I know. So, yeah, Tyler Breeze is good in the ring. He's got charisma.
He's got tons of charisma. I feel like, I think he could pull like a Johnny Mundo.
Yeah.
I think he really could. He seems like he's a dude who seems also like he's really clever and he seems like a smart guy who's savvy enough, who has like, who could probably develop enough business savvy.
Yeah.
To get himself in good situations.
Yeah. You'd like to think so.
Yeah. Because he's just being, where are they? They're in the SmackDown tag division.
Yeah.
What a waste. Like this whole list should have been the SmackDown tag division.
Could be.
Number eight. Darren Young.
He's currently sidelined with an arm injury. I believe he had elbow surgery after getting injured at a house show.
I was completely surprised when you told me this. He's been full-time with the WWE since 2009.
Yeah. Well, in developmental.
In developmental since 2009. When
did part of the Nexus. That was 2010, I want to say. Yeah.
It was 2010. My goodness. That was a long time ago.
So he's been on the main roster for the better part of 7 years.
So he's got used to the WWE way of working. What did he do before that?
Oh, I don't know.
Because it'd be good to know, like, you know, these guys, a lot of them might not know what they're stepping into. You know what I mean? I'm not sure how much experience Johnny Mundo had in the indie scene
prior before.
He did the Tough Enough thing, didn't he?
Yeah.
Let's see here. Training in independent circuit. So, my goodness, 2002 to 2004.
Oh, he was on the indies for a while then.
And then he hit Florida Championship Wrestling in 2009. Yeah. I mean, he sort of almost immediately. Let's see here. Yeah, it's been a couple of years on the indie circuit, but that was 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Lots changed since then.
Yeah.
But a guy like Darren Young, again, just like Tyler Breeze, lots of charisma.
Yes.
Real good in the ring.
Yeah.
Built a name for himself. He's a former tag champion.
Yeah.
I feel like Darren, it's a big bummer because at least Titus O'Neil's getting TV time.
I know.
Like, it's not the ideal type of TV time where he's just taking losses, but he's in little vignettes like almost every single week.
Pretty much, yeah.
He's going to be in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal probably.
Yeah.
Darren Young, like you said, he's sidelined with an injury, but I felt they really sort of dropped the ball with that make Darren Young great again.
They really
thing.
Did.
I mean, Bob Backlund, he was entertaining. They had good chemistry together.
Yeah, I mean, he was in a short-lived feud with The Miz for the IC title. He had that one match, and then it was like the finish to their one pay-per-view match was confusing.
Oh, yeah, it was garbage.
And then that feud went nowhere after that.
Well, also, that was like right before the brand split.
Yeah.
The extension, whatever you want to call it. And I feel like he was one of the kind of few guys who didn't benefit from that,
mm-hmm.
which is weird. Like, his angle is totally a SmackDown angle.
Yeah.
Like, he should totally be in that SmackDown non-existent mid-card.
Yeah.
That's where he should be. And if they had really tried to roll with it, dude, he could have easily been in contention for the IC title.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you
yeah.
know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. But he got drafted by Raw.
Yeah.
And then they didn't do anything with him.
So, Darren Young, I think he should definitely go. I mean, who knows when his contract is up. I mean, he made his... Yeah, he's been with them since he's been on Main since 2010. So,
yeah, who knows?
I like this. It says Young made his debut on NXT with a character described as a quote South Beach party boy, losing his debut match to David Ortega. I was like saying Ortega makes me laugh. Darren Young is number eight. Number seven.
Seven.
Curtis Axel,
who has been in WWE developmental since 2007.
Gee, 10 years.
With the company since 2007.
10 years. Of course, the son of Mr. Perfect.
Yes. His first run in WWE was as Michael McGillicuddy.
Yeah, bad idea.
And he was tag team partners with DiBiase's kid, right?
That sounds right.
I think they were tag champions at one point.
God, I don't remember.
Curtis Axel, when he debuted as Curtis Axel, was a Paul Heyman guy.
Evidence that Paul Heyman does not have he's not Midas.
No.
He doesn't have the golden touch.
Was pretty much immediately given the Intercontinental title.
Yeah, back when that strap didn't mean anything.
And then kind of languished. And then he seemed to kind of break through when he started doing the Axelmania thing.
Yeah.
When he was never officially eliminated from the Royal Rumble 2 years ago,
yeah.
leading up to WrestleMania 31.
Yeah.
And he carried through with that for a while, and it was good. He was doing good work.
I feel like Curtis Axel is like the poor man's Zack Ryder. He's able to get himself over through various means.
Yeah.
But man, they stomp down on him. Yeah. They quash him quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And it's weird because by all indications they were high on his potential.
Yeah.
And
I mean, they had you know, when he re-debuted as Curtis Axel, they had that whole segment in the middle of the ring where Heyman was explaining why he chose that name,
mm-hmm.
and they were making a huge deal about
but
it.
But then you get this guy out there, you don't let him have a character at all. It's like Paul Heyman can run his mouth as much as he wants. If you know, if he's talking about, you know, a wet towel, I don't really care about a wet towel. And Curtis Axel was talking about him as much as a wet towel can.
Yeah.
You know, he was giving us about as much info about his character. And so there's no reason for me to care.
Yeah, but then once he started adopting a character, finding a character.
Well, they did the whole thing with the Royal Rumble, how he never
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, the Axelmania stuff. Yeah, so he was saying that he belonged in the main event at WrestleMania because he was never eliminated from the Royal Rumble.
Right, exactly.
And that was good stuff.
Yeah, it was really good.
And then he got paired up with Damian Sandow when they were both doing the impersonation thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they broke them up.
Yeah.
And then...
Thanks, Hogan.
I know. And then a couple months ago, he showed up on Raw with a Skull, Axel Skull shirt.
Yeah.
I think they were in Minneapolis, his hometown. He got a great reaction, lost to Bo Dallas, put on a good match, gave a great promo.
Yeah.
And I don't think we've really seen him since.
Nope. I think there's always like that sort of weird conflict between, so we've heard anecdotally that upper management at WWE likes, they have the, this is all a play, everybody has their role thing. I mean, and with Curtis Axel, it seems, and guys like Curtis Axel, guys like Damian Sandow, in their cases, it really does feel like if you're not handpicked, which I always figured Curtis Axel kind of was.
Yeah.
But evidently, if you're not handpicked or if you fall off their radar, then you are languishing no matter what. Like, you are not digging yourself out of any hole. And that's kind of like the gist of this list, is these are all guys who have kind of dug themselves into a certain hole for the most part. And sometimes through no fault of their own.
Yeah.
Like, Curtis Axel, it's not his fault. They didn't. They said, we're going to throw you out there with Paul Heyman. We're not really going to give you a character to build on.
Yeah.
So you're on your own.
Imagine if Curtis Axel, how he would fare in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
He would do fantastic.
Yeah, he would do fantastic over there. He would do absolutely fantastic. So, yeah, Curtis Axel. I don't know when his contract is up, but maybe it's time to go look for greener pastures.
Yes.
Number six.
Six.
TJ Perkins.
This is more Steve choice.
Yeah, I don't really want him on my TV anymore. I don't really care where he goes. He can go to Bel Air, start bagging groceries for all I care. Maybe he can be a stock person.
See, in my mind, if he's going to develop as a sports entertainer,
yeah,
and by that I mean he's fine in the ring. He's really good in the ring.
Yeah, he's good in the ring.
But in terms of developing a character and personality, he needs to stay in WWE to develop that.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Because, I know he wrestles on the main roster in 205 Live, but if he goes during the week to the Performance Center, get some instruction in terms of how to develop a character and project that character, WWE is a perfect place for him to learn all that stuff.
I think
for him to take the next step in his career.
The problem isn't that he needs to develop a character. We've seen his character, and he's just annoying. Dabbing? Really? Dabbing? That's what he's chosen to go with. That's what he's rolling with. Dabbing. And every stereotype, I'm not even going to say, oh, he's just a millennial. Every stereotypically annoying thing about what you think a millennial is, that's sort of what he's adopted as a gimmick. Like cheesy ass sunglasses, dumb haircut. He's got the worst, like, trying to come at you. You know, like, whoa, it was Neville. You're like, what did he say? You're like something with a bad accent. I don't know what he said.
Broken record.
Bad accent.
Yeah, broken record with a bad accent.
What does that even mean? I don't know what that means.
Well, I mean,
it's terrible.
I know what it means. It's just not very well put together. It's
not very clever, is it?
No.
No. So his gimmick is not clever guy.
Okay.
I don't know. I feel like he needs to be 40. If he's still doing the same cool moves in the ring when he's 40, then I'll be cool with him. Either that or make a faction with him and the Bollywood Boys. And then just have them get murdered every week. I'm talking Heavy Machinery, The Authors of Pain, the revival, the ascension. Give me some more Hosses. Like Baron Corbin, if he teamed up with Brock Lesnar, just beat the crap out of him. I'd be okay with that too. Or put a mask on him. Just put a mask on him. Don't talk. I don't need you to talk. Just put a mask on him. Have him do some cool moves.
But say if he were to leave WWE,
yeah,
where would he go?
Don't give a shit. Bel Air. Don't care. Walmart. Not mine.
He could do well in Japan.
Not the Target I go to, please.
He could do well in Japan. Now that he's gained this additional exposure by being a WWE, I think he could do really well in Japan.
I wonder if he curses good, because you can curse in New Japan.
Yeah.
I wonder if he can drop a good fuck bomb.
What is your inclination? Do you think he can cuss well?
No, I don't think he can do anything well except for wrestle. He's a good wrestler.
He is a good wrestler.
He's an okay wrestler. Don't get carried away.
No, he's a good wrestler.
Don't get carried
he's
away.
He's a good wrestler.
I give him so much shit.
You do.
I know. I just I can't.
He's on this list strictly so you can go on your diatribe.
I'm trying not to go on a diatribe. I want to keep this serious.
Yeah, stay positive.
Oh, he's terrible, though.
He's not terrible.
He's so bad.
He's not bad.
Why does he have the dab, dude?
I don't know.
Why does he have the dab?
I don't get that either.
It's so annoying. It's so irritating. Anyways, number five.
Five.
Bo Dallas. Now, this is only if he doesn't join the Wyatt family, because I think that'd be tops. I love
Bo Dallas. Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Bo Dallas, so good.
Bo Dallas is good.
I want nothing but success for Bo Dallas.
He's been in WWE developmental or under contract with the company since when, Steve?
2008.
Almost 10 years.
Yeah, it's been almost 10 years. And, man, I think he's talented. He was born like 5 years too late. Maybe even 3 years too late. If his career got shifted back, forward, whatever you want to call it. If his career got shifted later by 2 years, think about who's come out of NXT. Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Neville even at this point.
Yeah.
Like if Neville can turn around and be a champion, so can Bo Dallas.
Yeah.
Bo Dallas was champion right before Neville, right?
Yeah, and he's a multi-time FCW champion too.
Yeah.
I know.
And you could tell they wanted to push him to the moon.
Oh yeah, remember when he was when he was still a babyface and must have been FCW maybe. He was in the Royal Rumble
one year, I know.
Had a brief feud with Wade Barrett.
That's right.
Who was the Intercontinental Champion at the time.
I know. It was fantastic.
So they had high hopes for him.
I wonder if he ran too good with the Bo Leave thing, that it just stuck to him too much.
Could be.
Okay, so for example, let's look at somebody else with kind of something similar. Remember Bad News Barrett?
Yeah.
Okay, when he was doing that. That was his shtick, but it didn't define him. And so he can move outside the Bad News Barrett. Because he was Wade Barrett after. I mean, he was Wade Barrett during the Bad News Barrett thing.
Yeah, but then he was King Barrett after King of the Ring.
Barrett, exactly. So, like, he sort of transitioned out of that gimmick because it wasn't really a gimmick. It wasn't like every... Like, he wasn't married to it. You know what I mean? It's like he would show up on the podium, and it was just kind of a clever way to get him...
Some mic time,
some heel heat, so that people remembered him. With Bo Dallas... He went so deep into the Bo Leave thing. That's what you associated him with. With Wade Barrett and Bad News Barrett, it was just something he did. You know what I mean? There's kind of a difference there.
It was a character versus a gimmick.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so with Bo Dallas, I wonder if they just went too hard on that Bo Leave thing because there's a ceiling there.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a ceiling there.
Yeah.
And so I wonder, I mean, I'm not sure how they could have gone different with him. But it's like you look at the packaging they gave his brother and it was like fucking off the hook creative.
Yeah.
And it built a character, like a character that's so unique, that's so singular in that he's above heel face. I'm talking about Bray Wyatt, obviously. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He's above heel face. He's above good, bad. He's above cheers and boos. He's above all of that. And he's so strong. He can be placed in the main event scene anytime and it's believable. Now, I'm not saying that can be done with Bo Dallas. But that can be done with Bo Dallas.
Yeah.
That could have been done with Bo Dallas. Yeah. And I wonder if the damage is done too much right now, which is why he's on this list. And he could easily leave the WWE. And
he can go to Ring of Honor, have a stellar career there, go to Japan.
TNA. It's a bummer that TNA is what TNA is. Because you'd love to say, you can go to TNA.
Impact, sorry. Impact Wrestling.
It's always going to be TNA.
I know.
It's always going to be TNA. I know. It's kind of a bummer. It's kind of a bummer that, like, immediately you can already tell it's going in, like, the wrong direction. I hope not. I hope not. I hope not.
Yeah, me too. But.
But, Bo Dallas, I don't know. I would love for somebody, one of them clever fucking SmackDown writers, to get Bo Dallas over there. Like, whoever's writing Baron Corbin stuff.
Yeah.
Get him with Bo Dallas.
Because whoever's writing Baron Corbin stuff really plays to his strengths.
Yeah.
Really understands the Baron Corbin character.
Yeah, exactly.
And understands, okay, this is how we're going to write Baron to his strengths.
And how.
And not highlight his weaknesses at all.
And, like, even literally with his dialogue.
Yeah.
You know? Like, here's how he should be talking.
Yeah.
So, Bo Dallas, I mean, I really do wish that he could go far within the confines of the WWE, but it's obvious that they have no idea what they have. And it's so frustrating.
It is. It's a bummer.
Number four.
Four.
Paige. Kind of obvious she wants out.
Yeah.
I don't know about now, just because this seems of this movie thing.
Yeah, they have the movie thing going, and then, you know, there was those rumors that she was retaining a lawyer.
Yeah.
After her suspensions and after Del Rio left, trying to get out of her contract. It's a very turbulent, tumultuous time, the end of 2016 for Paige and the WWE's relationship.
Right.
But, you know, it's when either this movie getting made helped patch things up somewhat,
mm-hmm.
or their relationship got patched up enough so the movie got greenlit. Either way, it seems like they're cool now to a certain extent.
Right.
She's recuperating from neck surgery. She'll probably be out. When she have in October? So she'll probably be out till late spring, early summer.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But
will there?
And she's still under contract, I believe, till the end of 2018.
Yeah.
Or 2019.
That's a while off. A ways off. But there's always going to be that thing that as long as she's with Alberto Del Rio, I wonder if there's going to be a ceiling, an Alberto Del ceiling for her. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so it makes us wonder, she'd be better off in TNA where her hubby is going to be debuting.
Thursday, right?
This past Thursday.
Yeah, it's past Thursday.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Here's the problem. I mentioned this because we're going down this and we're looking at different women wrestlers.
Yes.
The problem is there's not really, I hate to say this and like come off as dismissive of independent women's wrestling, because I'm really not, but there just obviously isn't so you have Ring of Honor, but then you have Women of Honor. Like they have their own little separate subset thing, which I've seen two episodes of Ring of Honor. I've not seen any women's wrestling. So I think that's literally its own thing.
Yeah.
You've got Shine. You've got promotions out there.
Yeah.
You've got good wrestling, like Candice LeRae, Leva Bates. You've got some really good women's wrestling out there. But in terms of it being as high profile as the independent circuit is for men,
yeah,
it's just not there.
Yeah.
I watch New Japan. I don't see any women wrestling. You know what I mean? You got to watch other, you know,
promotions,
you
gotta
go find other promotions that are women specific. And so, you know, if I'm tuning in to watch Naito versus Michael Elgin, I'm not going to be exposed to women's wrestling New Japan style.
Yeah.
And that's what you need as a female performer leaving.
Yeah, pretty
if
much.
You want the same profile as you have in the WWE.
Yeah, pretty much if you leave WWE as a women's competitor, your only real option in terms of somewhat comparable opportunity mm-hmm. would be TNA.
Yeah,
that exactly. I'm aware of.
I think you're exactly right. Because otherwise, like, okay, whenever we put these lists together, like top performers who should go to WWE or whatever who aren't in the WWE, like we did one not too long ago, it's like, well, like nobody has the profile, the high profile that a lot of the men have. And that's just the nature of the business. So Paige going to TNA with her husband, I said, that would do a lot more for TNA than it would do for Paige.
Yeah.
And I believe that.
Yeah.
However, Paige seems to be in a situation pre this movie anyways, where things didn't seem like they were going to work out between her and the WWE.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, this is your trade. You need to go ply your trade somewhere.
Yeah.
So might as well go somewhere else. But also there's also an element of when people leave and then go away for a couple of years and come back, you know, their stock has risen.
Yes.
And so her leaving for TNA or even just something else tangentially related to wrestling, who knows what, I don't know, acting or one, some shit like that. could boost her stock in a couple of years. When the, time heals most wounds anyways, as it pertains to wrestling relationships.
Yeah.
So, Paige.
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 Number three. Aw. Handsome Rusev. Here's my thing.
Yeah.
I feel like Handsome Rusev, there's two things there's a problem here. Number one, he's totally lost in the shuffle on Raw. Totally. And I hope that a brand draft, a redraft, will be one of the people helped by that.
Yes.
Because he went from U.S. champion, top champion on Raw 8 months ago, and now he's mixing it up with Jinder Mahal, getting jobbed out like it's nothing to the Big Show. It's like he's already past his prime.
I know. He's already, as you said several times, he's a wrestler that celebs can feud with now.
Exactly. And I feel like that's Big Show territory, who's trying to get a match with Shaq.
Yeah.
And it's like Rusev would be perfect for like a Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
He would have been perfect for like a Goldberg.
Yeah.
But he's not getting those matches. And so, nobody's getting a Kurt Angle match yet. And so, I don't know. I'm like, a trade to SmackDown or a general redraft would, I think, do wonders for him.
Yes, it would.
But I think more than anybody, except for number two, and number one's in a league of his own, but with the exception of number two, I think Rusev, more than anybody, if the question is who can leave WWE and do best in the indie circuit, it's no question. It's mm-hmm, Rusev, mm-hmm. With the exception of number two.
Yeah.
It's Rusev, because especially with Lana,
yeah,
who is a major draw on her own.
Yes, very much so.
Rusev has built such a great name for himself, and people love him.
Yeah, he's starting to turn the corner on, whenever the heels make the transition becoming faces, it's mm-hmm. usually because, okay, this heel is so good, so entertaining,
yeah,
that we can't help as an audience but to cheer for him.
Yeah, exactly.
And he was, as of like maybe a month ago, starting to get there.
Right, right.
He's the only person to come out of the whole Dolph Lana thing unscathed.
Mm-hmm,
he was great during that feud.
Yeah, he was really fantastic.
He was wildly entertaining.
The only thing interesting about the League of Nations.
Yes.
He always knows how to make things entertaining.
You said this perfectly on, I believe, a Raw cap, that he takes himself. So it seemed like he takes his job seriously, mm-hmm. but he doesn't take himself seriously.
Exactly, which is kind of necessary in pro wrestling. Like, yes. That's the nature of pro wrestling, if you think about how ridiculous it is.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think he could totally build on what he's done. And then he's the kind of guy, remember Alberto Del Rio left for like, a year?
Yeah.
And then he came back to WWE, and granted, yeah, it's Alberto Del Rio. They didn't really do much with him. But Rusev is one of those guys who can leave for a year and then come back and enter the Royal Rumble and have another great run with the WWE, sort of freshened up.
Yeah.
And I don't know, but let me ask you this. Do you think there's any possibility that they are simply biding their time with Rusev?
Could be. I mean, the upper mid-card and main event scene on Raw is so stacked right now.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem.
That there's really no way to work him in.
He could be doing so much good on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He can be the number two heel on SmackDown easily.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah. Number two. Cesaro. For sure. This dude, if he left to the indie circuit, he would be
he would be their champion.
Exactly. Yeah. He could go to New Japan, put on some amazing matches with everybody,
yes,
in the upper card there.
Yeah.
Everybody. I mean, I could see him against Naito, Okada, Kenny Omega, you name it. I could see Cesaro.
All stellar matches,
having the crowd just going crazy.
Yep. Like, he'd go back to Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm.
He'd immediately be one of their top guys, if not their top guy.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I even think he's too big for Ring of Honor. I think it'd be New Japan, and he could kill it. Kill it over there.
Oh, yeah.
He
feels like he's too big for TNA, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I'd rather see him go to Ring of Honor than TNA.
Oh,
sorry.
Yeah,
Impact.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Impact.
TNA. No, for me, it'd be New Japan. It'd be Ring of Honor. But I think there's so much great wrestling talent in New Japan.
Oh, yeah.
That to watch him go over there, he would be a walking dream match at that point.
Oh, yeah.
And it makes me wonder. So, yeah, he had a pretty lengthy career on the indie circuit prior to the WWE, taking what he's learned from the WWE and then applying that to matches in New Japan where they let you do more, and to see what he could then develop there, what maybe he's been holding. Because he's the one guy, I've said this before about Cesaro, is that he's the dude who, regardless of the match, he always tries to find some small little way to do something new.
Yeah.
He always brings something new to the table, which is so rare.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder if there are things in terms of how what he thinks about pro wrestling. Are there things that he would love to try to do that WWE simply can't
To do? I'm sure that's true for a lot of wrestlers on the roster.
You're probably right. But I think that he's like one of the most creative wrestlers I've ever seen.
Yeah.
To see him go over to a place where creativity is appreciated and encouraged.
Yes.
That would be fantastic.
Very much so.
Yeah. Number one.
One.
Daniel Bryan.
Of course, the only thing that's holding him back from wrestling is health issues. Namely, at least, what he said, 10 concussions that he was aware of. Something like that.
Yeah.
So until his contract runs out, I believe at some point in 2018, he's not going to wrestle in WWE.
No, ever again. It's not going to happen.
Whether he's going to wrestle elsewhere after his contract runs out, considering his wife's just about to have a child, whether he wants to risk further injury at this point is unknown. But if he went to New Japan, oh my goodness.
Oh, it would be huge.
If he went back to Ring of Honor, oh my goodness.
It would be massive. It would be crazy.
It would be fantastic.
It would be insane. I mean, the big question is, could he get cleared by the proper people that would clear him?
Yeah.
You know? And there's a part of me that'd be like, man, it'd be kind of tough to watch him wrestle.
I know.
Because knowing what we know.
I know, especially if he went to Japan where they work stiffer.
Yeah, I know. Like all those drivers he'd be taking. But at the same time, you know, medical technology gets better and better by the day. You never know what could happen. The bottom line is Daniel Bryan seems like sometimes it feels like he's simply phoning it in because he like to watch Total Bellas and to see how matter of factly the WWE would just sort of tell him to do this, tell him to do that.
Yeah.
And understanding the nature of their contracts that it's basically like, okay, you're talent. We need you here. You got to do this.
Yeah.
And it's not like a consultation. It's not like, hey, so, you know, you made us a lot of money. We're paying you still. But what, you know, how do you see your role transition?
Yeah. How can we best utilize your talents while you're under contract?
No, you're over. You're going to be the SmackDown general manager. Yeah. Now. We don't really care.
Watching Total Bellas was rough seeing him deal with the end of his career.
And then just the fact that he's like, yeah, they just told me that I have to go announce my retirement.
Yeah.
It's like they're, I mean, who knows? There might've been some sort of like consultation, but no, it just sounds like, oh yeah. It's also matter of fact.
Yeah.
And there's something fucked up about that. You know,
seems cold.
It seems really cold.
Yeah.
I mean, especially seeing what he went through afterwards. Like, man, you're emotionally so attached to like your identity.
Is pro wrestler. Yeah,
exactly. Them say, oh, yeah, you have to go retire. Almost as if it's like, oh, how are we going to pop ratings tonight? Well, Daniel Bryan can't wrestle
anymore. It seems very cynical.
Yeah, totally. And so, you know, obviously we don't know the full extent of like if he's ever going to be able to wrestle again.
Yeah, and we certainly don't want him to put himself in jeopardy in terms of his health just so he can have a couple more matches.
But it does sound like the through like watching Total Bellas and listening to him in interviews, it honestly does sound like the WWE contract is a massive weight. You know, it's a fucking albatross.
Yeah.
You know, he's carrying this thing around and he's just waiting until he can get the fuck out of there. And I can almost guarantee you, I would be stunned if he re-upped in any manner with the WWE.
Oh, yeah, I'd be surprised too.
After his contract is up. I would be so floored if he did.
I know. Instead, he can main event Wrestle Kingdom 14 or 15 against Naito or Okada.
Even if he is completely, completely at peace with never being able to wrestle again, which is completely likely.
Oh, yeah.
I would be so stunned if he stuck around.
I would be too.
You know? And it's like maybe even if it was just for a year to evaluate and to see what he wants to do with this next phase of his life or whatever. But I'm not even talking about like wrestlers who would be better off wrestling elsewhere. I'm talking about Daniel Bryan. I'm just talking about people who fucking need this for their own mental well-being.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Not having Vince McMahon, Stephanie, and Triple H saying, hey, you need to be here on this date. You can't wrestle, but you need to be here.
You can't do what you really want to do.
You can't do what you really want to do.
But since you're under contract, you're obligated to do this. that we're telling you to do.
Exactly.
So here's your itinerary.
Yeah.
Follow it, please.
Exactly. So, yeah, Daniel Bryan, hopefully he'll get what he wants in life.
Yes.
Anyways, that's it. Let us know what you guys think in the comments. And until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.